Opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And this morning, calling in from her home and her hometown is Senator Shelley Hughes, running for governor. Shelley, how you doing?
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Fairbanks. Yeah, I am happy to be home. I'm not home very much. I've been out about around the state. You just caught me today passing through the good old hometown of Palmer.
Yeah, you know, there's 18 or 19 people running for governor, and I always just sort of chuckle, like, what is your schedule like?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I'm enjoying it immensely. You know, I've lived all over the state, and it's a great excuse to get out about in the different parts of the state, meet people, and, you know, your show's all about solving problems. I love solving problems and listening to Alaskans as to not only what they see as the problems, but also they often have really good input on how to fix those problems, and that gives me a lot of energy, so I am enjoying it. I've heard some candidates trudging through this. This isn't really, you know, but I love it, David. I love it. It's
you know, if you're going to be in it all the way, and good for you.
Yeah. We've been pretty much all over the state. One of the places I haven't been yet, I'm looking forward to it, is going up to Nome and Unalakleet. But we've been up and down, you know, all around, and we'll be back up in Fairbanks. And, it's an exciting time. You know, there are a lot of candidates.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I just want listeners to know, especially those that are on the right of center, that I have made an attempt to try to consolidate with a couple of candidates, and they weren't interested. So I did make an attempt to try to narrow the number. But, you know, ultimately, this is up to the people to decide. And, you know, it's places, different countries around the world where, you know, kingmakers kind of decide who's going to run, not going to run, and we're going to get this person out and that person out. But, you know, ultimately, it's the people decide. And also, David, I was thinking, you know, we've had an incumbent for this is year 8, and it's been a while since we had somebody serve that full second term. And so you had a lot of pent up. And if you were going to have a traditional Democrat primary, traditional Republican primary every 4 years, you could easily have, you know, 4 or 5 people in each of those primaries. And you do that twice, 2 4-year terms. We're really not that far off what you might have. It's just because it's hitting it all at once. And it's not a separate Democrat primary and separate Republican primary. It's a jungle primary, right?
Yes. Well, let's look at your background. You were in the legislature, House and the Senate?
Yes, 4 years in the House, 8+ in the Senate, served as Senate Majority Leader and Senate Judiciary Chair, many other roles. And prior to that, in the private sector over 30 years, and feel like all those life experiences have well prepared me for what's ahead and to help the state.
Good for you. You know, you bring both a knowledge of what I call the inner workings and hidden mechanisms of how the state of Alaska government works, and you bring a perspective of being from the free business side of things and what is best for the state.
Yeah, and the other thing that I bring, which is unique, is I've lived all over the state. Started out 50 years ago in Alaska and lived down in Southeast Alaska in Hoonah, had family in different communities down there, still do, and then lived out in Bethel in Western Alaska, lived up above the Arctic Circle in Fort Yukon there in the interior, and in Fairbanks for a season. My third child was born there. I have four children. My third child was born there in Fairbanks. And then lived down on the Kenai Peninsula in Seward, and then settled in Palmer. So having lived in virtually every region of the state gives a amazing perspective, I believe, because put a map of Alaska across the lower 48. How many states are encompassed in Alaska? We have regions that are very, very different. Challenges and needs are very, very different, but they also have something, every region has something great to contribute to the state. And it's interesting, David, when I've traveled around, people will say from different regions, if it's not South Central, they will say, you know, we get a governor, but and they come up and they come to this region and they seem like they're for us, but once they get in office, we feel like we're ignored. We feel like we're forgotten. And I think because I've lived all over the state, you know, part of your heart is...
Yeah, never leaves, yeah.
It never leaves, and I understand the importance of the different regions. So I think that's a really good thing that I bring to the table.
Well, okay, let's look at something else that you get to do that really has not been done before in election for governor's history. You get to choose your running mate. You know, Governor Dunleavy was able to choose his running mate, but this is the first time where it's open with no incumbent and you get to choose. So when's your big reveal? That's what I call them now. And the process involved in choosing a candidate to run with you.
Yeah, it's a great question. And listeners are aware, if they've been here a while, they got to vote for the lieutenant governor prior to the ranked choice voting legislation that's in statute now. So the people of Alaska chose the lieutenant governor. Now it's on the shoulders of the gubernatorial candidate. And I have taken that incredibly seriously and have not rushed it. And part of that is how I envision and want to have the role of lieutenant governor, which we can talk about. So for a number of months, beginning back in November, so I stepped down from my Senate seat to run full time before Thanksgiving. And that, with my team, began the conversations of lieutenant governor. Looked at a lot of different people, had different conversations. Some really great people out there, right? And so we just recently came to that decision. And so Thursday night, it will be announcing that person. It will live stream, so those in Fairbanks can join in and be part of the LG reveal. And I think people are going to be pleased with my pick. But let me just explain the role of LG. So typically what's happened. So I have friends that have been former lieutenant governors. We're a small enough state. We get to know these people. And I've watched over the years, over the decades, where lieutenant governors, very smart, very capable people, coming in with expertise, but sometimes they tend to be just what I call a ceremonial seat warmer, you know, waiting to see if something happens to the governor or filling in when the governor's calendar won't allow them to attend something. Yes, they're dealing with ballot initiatives and things with the Division of Elections and have other duties where they're showing up or guarding the seal, making sure everything is actually officially from the state and something isn't being presented as the state per se. But I've looked at the role really differently, David, based on what our territorial Secretary of State look like and their role. And I learned about this and I'm fascinated by it. So back when we were territory before 1959, we had a Secretary of State whose main job was to be an ambassador and make sure the federal government, 3,000 miles away in D.C., was treating us well, and the governor was busy running things in the state and, of course, had contact with the federal, you know, Congress and the president and all that. But the Secretary of State, in addition to dealing with elections, also was kind of the watchdog for the federal government, which I found fascinating. And so part of what I see is we're looking for someone smart, competent, capable, someone trustworthy, and we want them to do well with elections. That's a top priority. But I want someone who can also help with a big job ahead. And we haven't talked about my plan for the state and the action steps that we want to take that are very pragmatic solutions. But if I can have a second person with demonstrated leadership who can help me with the efforts, Alaskans are going to get a better bang for their buck with my ticket.
Very good. We're going to take a quick phone call here, then we're going to have a commercial break, okay? This just lost a phone call, so we'll go into a commercial break instead. And Fairbanks, if you want to call in, we have Senator Shelley Hughes on the phone calling in, and we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Did your vehicle survive 145 days of sub-zero temperatures this winter? If so, it deserves a participation trophy. Months of torture on your vehicle's systems like suspension, brakes, and fluids really takes a toll. Spring into action with Glacier Garage and bring your rig in for the maintenance it deserves. At Glacier Garage, our technicians will inspect the key systems winter loves to punish and make sure your car is ready for the roads ahead. Don't wait for a small issue to become a costly repair. Call Glacier Garage or find us online at glaciergarage.com. And after this winter, we all deserve a participation trophy.
Mountain View Eye Center is making a difference. Ebba is from the Congo. Her son moved to Alaska, bringing Ebba, who had become blind from untreated cataracts. They went to Mountain View Eye Center for cataract surgery, and for the first time in years, Ebba could see clearly. She told her son, "You are so handsome." And then, Ebba truly saw her granddaughter for the first time. Good things are happening. Visit mountainvieweyes.com.
KFAR weather.
Highs level off around 53 this afternoon under overcast skies with a chance for scattered rain showers. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for isolated showers tonight. Lows level off around 29. Daytime highs approaching 51 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Senator Shelley Hughes on the phone with me. She is running for governor of the state of Alaska. Now, Senator, you gave a very good description of what your thought of your lieutenant governor will be doing. It's not a thought. It's the what you'll be directing this person to do. And, you know, that's a very good interface with, you know, so much of one third of our state is state land, two thirds of our state is federal land. And boy, do we have issues with them. So it's good to see you saying, okay, I'm the governor. I need a lieutenant governor to look at all these issues too.
What has happened and why I want the lieutenant governor to take a bigger role. And, you know, I'm a big proponent of federalism, which is the balance between the state and the federal government that our founding fathers based our nation on. It's really flipped where the federal government in some ways has a lot of control. And what I've seen, if you kind of look at the different commissioners often, and I know because they would come before me in the years that I was serving in Juneau, often these commissioners are taking on political battles and problems with the federal government, and those commissioners really should be focused on doing what they need to be doing for Alaskans. I'm going to take the Fish and Game Commissioner as an example. And especially with affordability and the price of groceries, and especially because so many of us live here because we love to hunt and fish, and especially because so many of us love the healthy protein that we can get from the moose and the caribou and the fish, right? So that's a dividend, like a PFD. It's one of the benefits of living in Alaska.
Yeah.
And when I learned that in Sweden, they're harvesting 2 to 3 times the number of moose we are, I'm thinking, what is going on? But I tell you, when I heard that New York, the little state of New York, is harvesting more game each year than we are, I'm thinking, what could we do better as far as having a more abundant and larger population, you know, game population? And part of it is the commissioner has been focused on dealing with the federal government and its overreach as far as management of federal lands and trying to push back from that. The commissioner of Fish and Game should be focused on managing our populations for abundance, our game and fish populations for abundance, so we don't have these allocation fights. The pushing back from the federal government should be, you know, the attorney general through litigation. But kind of on the political side, that should be coming from the governor and lieutenant governor. And so that is part of what I would want our lieutenant governor to really be pushing back. We are the only state, by the way, where the state does not manage the federal lands owned in that state. So in other states, yes, there's little pockets of federal land, but the state manages the fish and game on those lands. We don't, the federal government. That's one of the things that we need to have that conversation about, because I think the state would do a much better job, and I think we will demonstrate that through my administration as we grow the herds, we work on the habitat, we do those things. We can show we can do a good job, and I think we can win Alaskan support to do that on federal land. But the LG, there's a lot for the LG to do, and you talked about 2/3 land. That's, you know, we can talk about my plan, but that's one of the major tenets of my plan.
Let's talk about your 3-pronged action plan.
Yeah. Yeah, so for decades, we have talked about we need to have a diversified economy, and that can just sound like a little phrase, but what does it really mean? Diversified means we're not solely reliant on oil and gas. Now, we have other industries, but they tend to be, you know, a little bit smaller, tourism, fisheries, mining, things like that. But they aren't major industries. We're really pretty much reliant on oil and gas, and yet that is a very volatile commodity. Right now, prices are high, so there's extra revenue for the legislature to appropriate, but then we have those years where it's a bust, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's not the consistency. The whole goal of a diversified economy is so that you have lots of major industries. And so that is that's the premise of where we need to go. And so I have a very precise action plan. People can look at my website, alaskansforhughes.com. It's the most comprehensive of any candidate. And that's after I trimmed it back, where my team said, you're too verbose. You're giving away too many of your secrets.
Yeah.
More than anybody else.
Don't give them away before the primary.
Yeah. And I think I even noted on the website, you know, if other candidates take these things, maybe it's okay, because these are good ideas and they need to happen, right? So to get to diversify, to get, because that helps with our revenue stream, it helps with the strength. It is what is a strong economy, is a diversified economy. You need 3 things. First of all, you have to actually achieve cheap energy, and we can talk about that. You have to get lands into private hands, and we can talk about that. And the third thing is you have to have the infrastructure. We talked about that for decades, right? But have we actually done it? We're excited about the gas line and how that's coming to, you know, looking pretty good. By the way, a couple weeks ago, I met with an American-based company that's looking at something that would actually complement the gas line, would not be in competition. It's a company called Polar LNG, and they're looking at up on the North Slope gas by ice tankers, similar to what Mead Treadwell talked about a number of years ago, but this is triple the volume, and the good news is they have the investment dollars to do it. It's just a matter of getting the permits and making it happen. So we are going to get the gas, which will help. But that's only one part of the portfolio, because a gas line, natural gas, will prevent us from importing it from other places around the world, which would be atrociously expensive. So a gas line is going to prevent terribly expensive gas, but it's not going to get into the realm of cheap, which is what you have to have is cheap for diversified economies. So you have to add to the portfolio. So I'm going to very aggressively go after hydro. Hydro, we have 3 million lakes. We have 12,000 rivers. We have an abundant supply of water in the state. I would take the Susitna-Watana Dam project off the shelf on day one and try to get the FERC license. There was an anti-dam thing kind of going around like 15, 20 years ago, but that was based on the old 150, 200-year dams that were damaging fish.
Yeah.
Now, we can, with the engineering and technology, we can build dams and actually enhance the fish population. So hydros are really makes sense. The other thing that makes sense in this state is geothermal. It's steady. It's reliable. Hydro and geothermal make sense for Alaska. Also, we need to be ready for the micro nuclear, the small modular reactors. Those are, we're going to blink our eyes, and those are going to be ready, deployable and in use. So we need to embrace that. We actually this I'm not the only candidate talking about this, but I we cannot slam the door. We have to look at the emerging technology when it comes to clean coal use. We have half the nation's coal in Alaska. If there's technology where we can do it wisely and be good stewards, it makes sense. We might even want to think of right by Yosemite, putting a power plant there and running lines to minimize the impacts on the environment. But we cannot slam the door to that either. So now we're talking about portfolio. Now we're getting where we start getting the price down enough that other industries like value-added processing, refineries, it takes a lot of power for those. More mining, the biggest impediment to more mining is the cost of power. So data centers, all these things require cheap energy. Now you're bringing in other major industries, which will help us. So I'm ready to go on to the second prong if you're ready for that, Dave.
Yeah, we got about 2 minutes left before we got to go to a break. So maybe let's wait for the second prong till after the break.
And, good.
Yeah, then so what is the rest of your schedule like between now and mid-June?
Well, if I could send you screenshots of my calendar, you'd be like, oh, I think I need a nap.
How's your Alaska Airline miles going?
I'm earning them. I am earning them, and a lot of road miles, too. Saturday, heading up to Glen Allen. Of course, we have our big event in Anchorage Thursday night. And back to that LG, people are going to be, you know, you're going to want a live stream.
Yeah.
You're going to be thrilled at that person. That person's smart, competent, trustworthy, and it's really going to help the state. And I, like I said, the voters don't get to choose it. So I've taken this selection process very, very seriously. And I think Alaskan's going to be very pleased. So excited about that. That person will be on the campaign trail. We will travel together initially, and then at times, you know, separate appearances to get the message out. But very busy schedule. Glad it's warming up a little bit. That's a little nicer to be traveling when there's daylight and it's not so bitter cold. So through the summer, we're going to be nonstop. And and meeting with Alaskans, letting them give their input, letting them express their concerns.
Okay. Well, Senator, we're going to go into a commercial break here, if that's okay. So please hang on over our break. And Fairbanks, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255 if you want to call in. We're going to have some bumper music, Ace of Bass, I believe. It looks like Bass. I'm a fisherman. I'm not a musician, but it says B-A-S-S. So it's Ace of Bass. And then we're going to have some Fox News, some state news, some commercials and weather, and we will be back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is a Fox News alert. Former FBI Director James Comey has been indicted again, a second time, by the Justice Department under President Trump. The specific charges are about Comey's Instagram post showing seashells on the beach, spelling out 8647. The insinuation there is 86, getting rid of 47, the 47th president, Donald Trump. The former FBI director fell out of favor with the president before he was first elected. As Comey's agency investigated the Trump campaign and ties to Russia, Comey was fired in the months after the inauguration. President Trump today holding a welcome ceremony for King Charles and Queen Camilla outside the White House says he believes the founding fathers would be proud of the job they've done protecting the free world.
If they could see us today, our ancestors would surely be filled with awe and pride.
The king is expected to address a joint session of Congress. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Your Alaska Link reports that city officials have secured $4.1 million in federal grant funding to move forward with the design phase of a major overhaul of the DeLong Dock in Whittier, a critical freight hub that has served the region for more than 70 years. The funding marks a significant step toward the long-planned effort to fully replace and expand the aging facility, with local leaders saying the project is aimed at improving both operational capacity and long-term economic growth in the region. City Manager Jackie Wild said the modernization of the dock could bring broader economic benefits to the community. It can open up the ability for more processors and more people to come in, which creates more jobs for the locals that are there and also helps grow our economy, Wild said. The DeLong Dock plays a key role in supporting freight movement in and out of Whittier, and officials say upgrading the infrastructure is essential to meeting current and future demand. With funding for design now in place, the city plans to solicit bids from engineering and design firms to begin shaping the project.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
CAD is Customer Appreciation Day at the Great Alaska Pizza Company. Our very best waiting for you today, just $6. Carry out medium cheese or pepperoni pizzas for $6. Customer Appreciation Day is today at Gapco. Carry out medium cheese or pepperoni pizza for $6.
The Great Alaska Pizza Company.
This is Bob. Bob thinks hosting guests means chips and sitting on the couch. Bob never wins best host ever.
I'm bored.
This is you. You take your guests to Rod's Alaskan Guide Service in Fairbanks. You and your guests can meet world-class racing huskies, hear stories from real Alaskan dog mushers, and go on a dry land dog sledding adventure before watching the dogs cool off in their favorite pond. Your friends will talk about this adventure for years. Your coworkers, they'll be jealous. And you, you'll earn the best host ever crown. Rod's Alaskan Guide Service. Summer dog mushing that makes you legendary. Trips start June 1st, but now is the time to book. Call 907-378-1851 or go to rodsalaskanguideservice.com and use code HUSKY25 and get a 25% off early bird reservation. Spots fill up fast. Don't be like Bob. Use code HUSKY25 and start your Alaskan adventure today.
When Tuesday rolls around, Big Daddy's Barbecue turns up the heat. That's right, every Tuesday, get Big Daddy's mouth-watering slow-smoked ribs for just $2 each. Yeah, you heard it. $2 for the ribs everyone in town can't stop talking about. Bring your friends, your family, or heck, bring your whole crew. At that price, why not? So swing by Big Daddy's Barbecue this Tuesday and stack your plate high with the best ribs around. Big Daddy's Barbecue, the northernmost southern barbecue on Wickersham between 1st and 2nd downtown.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Senator Shelley Hughes on the phone with me, running for governor, state of Alaska. Shelley, how you doing?
I am fine. Love all those good people in Fairbanks. You know, I used to live up there, so part of my heart's there. And as governor, I want to help the community of Fairbanks, North Pole, move forward. You guys have a lot to contribute to the state.
So looking at your three prongs, what's your second prong?
Hey, the first one was achieving cheap energy. The second one is getting lands into private hands, and that's on two fronts. So one of the things I will do out of the gate is introduce a Homestead Act that will be very streamlined. We've had them in the past, but they've been cumbersome and difficult. So we want one that's streamlined that will actually get private land into Alaska hands. So those would be state lands. And so we're talking large plots, whether for timber development, agriculture, which I'm big on food security, but also smaller pieces closer to urban areas, so that people, affordable housing is, we're at the crisis point with that. And the cost of a home, typically it can vary by areas, about one third the cost is the land. So if you could homestead for a couple dollars, a half acre for a home or a quarter acre for a home, that would really help with the housing. So that's on the state front. On the federal front, I'm a huge advocate of going after some of the federal land grab that occurred at statehood. Dave, there's something called the equal footing doctrine. All the states were to come into the union on equal footing, and Alaska did not. And here's proof. The federal government owns 1% of New York, but 62% of Alaska. So that's why I want to restore some of that federal land. Now, the federal government, if they want to own the glaciers and the mountaintops, things that aren't usable. But what's usable should be for Alaskans, and we need to have control in order to do that, not have people 3,000 miles away determining what we can and cannot do. So I'll be looking for an attorney general that is very keen on the philosophy of federalism and work to restore that. And I think with the current federal administration, we have a good shot at it. But I tell you, even if we go for it and we don't achieve it, I would regret not going for it because it's the right thing. And I think we actually can be successful. But the more land we can get into private hands, the greater the incentive is to build and grow and strengthen our economy. So that's the second leg of this important stool, this diversifying and strengthening the economy stool. So the third one is infrastructure, the connectivity we need. We became a state in 1959. Prior to that, Eisenhower was pushing the whole national highway system from the East Coast to the West Coast, right? Look at the map of the lower 48. The connectivity is incredible. Look at a map of Alaska. It's it's very limited. So we need to work on infrastructure. And there's two ways we need to do it. The first way is making sure we're not leaving federal dollars on the table. One of the things I learned is every year we leave federal dollars on the table when it comes to ports, because we don't have an established a port authority. And so we have all the different ports fighting over dollars, and we end up in total bringing less. So establishing a port authority will be important, especially when I think of what's happening with the Strait of Hormuz, and I look at across our western coast, we have an open ocean to the Asian markets, right? We need to have ports on the western side of our state. And, we're working on the Port of Nome. But as those Arctic shipping lanes open up, that's going to be important. But it's also important as you grow your economy, you're actually going to have things export. So developing connectivity to an export market is very important for a strong, diversified economy. We have open ocean. We don't have a Panama Canal. Also working on the rail connection to Alberta, worked on that to get the presidential permit signed. I was led that, got the presidential permit signed for a rail between Alaska and Alberta, which would connect us to the lower 48.
Okay. So, you ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Senator Shelley Hughes, and your name is?
Randy, and I wanted to ask about Native villages out in the rural areas.
What about them, Randy?
Well, I haven't been out there. I don't really know what's going on there, but I have heard that many of the schools there in some of the villages are in bad need of repair. And I've always been wondering, do the people out in the villages, do they have a program where the young people or the old people or anybody can work on a continual basis, work on patching up walls and spackling and painting and cleaning out drains and things, is it just so that they wait for some experts to come in, fly in all the way from hundreds of miles to fix all that stuff? Or what's going on out there?
Appreciate the phone call, Randy. I'm going to hang up, let Senator answer, and then we have another phone call waiting.
Good question, because it actually leads into what I was saying, as far as infrastructure, which our schools are. what we talked about, the federal dollars we leave on the table. But at the state level, what's been happening the last 10 years or so is we've been funding the operating part of our budget, our agencies, from two sources, backfilling it with PFD dollars, but also dollars that normally would go into the capital budget for infrastructure, including maintaining it. So part of the task of the next governor is to work on getting our fiscal house in order. And that is a very tall order. But I believe of all the candidates that I'm best equipped to do that so that we can restore that capital budget. Why do I say I'm the best to do that? Is because I have relationships across the political spectrum and have been incredibly successful, whether I was in the majority or in the minority, getting major items across the finish line. There's not a legislator that was not welcome in my office or that I couldn't walk into. So you have to have a proven track record of navigating a tricky legislature, and I have it. So that'll help get our fiscal house in order. That will help restore the capital budget. And also by diversifying revenue streams, that will help restore the capital budget. Randy, you're right. The locals should be trained, and that is another workforce training and ensuring our students are coming out of high school. Either, you know, a small portion want to go to college, but some need to be ready to go into the trades. They need to be ready to go into service, whether that's military or faith service. We need to make sure our students are equipped. We need to make sure that we have an over number of people on Medicaid right now in the United States. 1 in 5 are on Medicaid. In our state, it's 1 in 3. That's not sustainable. So many of those are hardworking young adults that need insurance for their families. So I want a step-down approach so they don't get their insurance cut off immediately and allow them to be trained for some of these jobs, including in the villages, where they can help maintain the infrastructure. So very good point. Thank you for the question, Randy.
We lost the other caller, so maybe they'll call back. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, looks like they called back. Here we go. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Senator Shelley Hughes, and your name is?
Yeah, this is Phil.
Hello, Phil.
Yeah, hi. I keep hearing this phrase from various candidates of cheap energy. I don't think we'll ever see so-called cheap energy in Alaska. Think about the price of gas up here. What is it based on? And you have to look at any other source of energy that we're going to have. It's going to be based on the free marketplace and what it costs to bring up fuel here. And so, cheap energy, I'd like to have that one explained to me.
Well, Phil, my personal thought is, as long as you have Senator Kathy Geisel sitting there in charge of Senate resources, mm-hmm. With the Alaska LNG program, with all the taxes, with everything she wants to put on this bill that will all be brought down to the consumers on price, and you're not going to get cheap power. Sorry for stepping in there, Senator, but
yeah, and Phil, I'd also if you heard me earlier, I talked about a portfolio. Yes, you're right. Gas prices, those are impacted as a worldwide commodity, but the other part of the portfolio is hydro, which is not controlled by that. That would be here in the state, geothermal, and actually even the small modular reactors once you have that infrastructure. So I believe there is potential to bring our energy costs down. And when you bring your energy costs down, then we can afford to have a refinery here, which means we're not bringing all the fuel up. So it's a lot of work, Phil. It's going to take persistence. It's going to take working together. But we can do it. I can't snap my fingers and governor make it happen. But you have to have very practical steps and a vision to do this. And that's what we have, and that is what we are going to work on. Alaska has been controlled too much by the outside, too much by the federal government, and we've been too dependent on these commodities that go up and down. So the whole idea is to try to get some fiscal certainty and stabilize our fiscal situation, and fiscal cheap energy is part of it. We have to do it. And if we don't elect a governor that has this vision, if we elect a Democrat, you're going to tax industry, which I'm sorry, they think they're not going to pull up and go out. They are, and they have done it in the past. If you elect a Democrat, there's going to be an income tax. You're going to have a mass exodus of workers and young families. Big mistake. We have to elect a Republican, but we have to elect somebody who can effectively work together with people and has a proven track record, understands the issues, and is best equipped to get people there. And that's what I bring to the table. You know, on the one hand, you've got to have somebody who can stand strong and fight and not give away the farm. But you also have to have someone who has the wisdom to know when to sit at the table, when to build consensus, and move forward in that way. And I've proven that I've done that. And, you know, some candidates are really strong on the stand up and fight. Some candidates are good at the sit down and negotiate. But I'm kind of worried they might give away the farm. What you need is a candidate that is balanced in both of those. And that's the skill set I am offering to Alaska. And frankly, if we don't have an effective governor in that way, if you have a Democrat, there's going to be a downward spiral, I guarantee you. But if you have a Republican that is not effective, doesn't know how to navigate the legislature and gives away the farm, you're going to have slippage. So as people are looking at candidates, they've got to choose somebody that's effective. And the second thing, it also starts with E, like effective. You've got to pick somebody who's electable. And there's data out there that some candidates who might say good things might believe in some of the same principles. The data shows that they cannot win. And I'm going to point out Sarah Palin. There was data that showed her negatives were high, and she could not beat Mary Pattola, and that is exactly what happened. The same data showed that Nick Begich did not have high negatives, and he could beat Mary Pattola, and that's exactly what happened later. So that's one of the things. We have to look at someone who's going to be effective, and we have to pick someone who's electable. I am electable, and I will be effective.
Senator, we're going to take a commercial break. Fairbanks, I have Senator Shelley Hughes running for governor on the air with me. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Woo, sunshine. Come on, spring. Hey, snowbanks. Fairbanks. Les Nichols here with Fairbanks Nissan. With dry roads around the corner, it's time to start changing your winter tires out. This is the last month of buy three tires, get one for a dollar. I know we're all tired of the puns, but this is a really good deal. And we all know tire change season can be a bit hectic. If you're waiting for service and your shop is telling you June, as in Juno, it might be July, and you don't like waiting in line, schedule your appointment with Fairbanks Nissan today. And yes, we sell Nissans, but we work on all makes, even that one you're driving right now. Speaking of snowbanks, if you have a car that's thawing out in the driveway and you're ready to get rid of it, bring it down to Fairbanks Nissan. We're buying cars. We don't need 100 used cars, but we do need 25 cars before the end of the month. The question isn't who buys the most cars? It's who's going to give you the best number for your car. I'll give you a hint. It's probably Fairbanks Nissan. So come get a great deal on new tires or a seasonal tire change. Let us make you an offer on your old ride that'll put a spring in your step and schedule your speedy service appointment online at FairbanksNissan.com. That's FairbanksNissan.com.
KFAR weather.
Overcast skies today with a chance for scattered rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 53. Winds out of the southeast 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Slight chance for isolated rain showers. Lows dip down to about 29. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Senator Shelley Hughes on the phone with me, not in the studio. She's running for governor, state of Alaska. If you want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Senator, how you doing?
I am doing great. I love the fact that you've got callers. They brought in some very good points, and I know we're going to come to the end of the hour here. And I just want to let people know one of the things that I'm hearing and that everything that I've talked about really is to ensure Alaskans can live affordable and rewarding lives. That's what it boils down to. And I just want to go back because I mentioned I've been here 50 years, lived all around the state, including in the interior in Fairbanks. raised four children here, have 12 grandchildren, the kids all went to schools around the state. But when I was a young mom, we were scraping by. We technically were under the poverty level. And this state offered so much opportunity that people could build their lives and become whatever they wanted. They could go after things. And that's what my family does. That's what my husband and I did. And now we're richly blessed. And when I learned a year or so ago that we are losing our young people that are working age families that are deciding to leave the state, that's a crumbling state. And I'm not going to allow it under my administration. We're going to do everything we can to make sure this state is affordable, that it's a place where our young families want to stay and raise their children, because that's what this is all about, right? It's rewarding and affordable life. That is the job of the governor in every way that I can to support what is happening in the state. And that is my heart and soul. And that's why I've stepped up. You know, I didn't jump into this. I don't care about the limelight. And by the way, the fact that, you know, the way I'm going to use my lieutenant governor, I want them in the limelight. If they're in the headlines, that's good. That means, of course, you know, hopefully not negative headlines, right?
But yes, let's hope not. Yeah.
Yeah. As far as moving things forward, there's a lot of work to do. And I need a strong and capable partner to help with that. And like I said, when I announce our lieutenant governor Thursday night, I think people are going, first of all, they're going to be intrigued, but I think they're going to be pleased. And they're going to realize that our team is going to be the strong team that can carry us forward where we need to go. We can't afford to slip. We can't afford someone who's not effective. And doggone it, we cannot afford a Republican who is at the top who is not electable, because we'll end up with a Democrat, and that's going to be devastating to the state. So, you know, what I'm encouraging all the listeners to do, because I know people are starting to pick their favorites, but a lot of people are hesitating, and I get that. You know, there's so many candidates. But
there's only 19. Come on.
It is those who actually get off the fence, though, that will choose the next candidate, the next governor. So I encourage people, do your homework, look at who's electable, think about who will be effective, and get off the fence and get behind. And I would ask that people do consider supporting me and get behind me now, because I don't want to see a Democrat. And frankly, I feel that burden on my shoulders. I don't want a Democrat elected. And I know that I am one of the ones that is electable. And so I need people to support me. And frankly, no candidate running right now is going to be fully ready out of the gate on day one. But I would say I'm at the top of the list, because I know the issues, I know the players, and I've navigated the legislature. So I think that I'm more ready. You know, a lot of people are very knowledgeable on certain things, but I have a broad base of the issues and am ready to go. And we're building a plan. We're looking already at what are we going to do in the first week of the administration. What are the bills we need to follow? We are getting ready, and we will be ready.
There you go. You're going down to Glen Allen next?
Yes, on Saturday. You know, I don't have my calendar before, and I know I'm going to be on the Kenai next week.
In your travels, what are those one or two items of concern that Alaskans bring up to you?
I think one of the big items is affordability. I also think the control of the media and the narrative on some issues is of great concern. I want to tell your listeners one thing that's going to be different than any governor since statehood. And part of it has to do with the fact that we have social media. But I will use the bully pulpit like no other candidate, no other governor has ever used. I will hold press conferences, of course. But I won't rely on how the media spins things. I will speak directly to the people. I want to give an example. I believe every child in the state should have the best learning environment suited for that child. And they're all created differently, right? And my kids all went to public schools. I went to public schools. I want our public schools to do well. But there's the truth out there. 17 states have opened up to more school choice. And guess what?
Their education's better.
Their public schools are better. So So the point is, you don't have a mass exodus of students out when you do school choice. But the ones that do, is it's often the unruly child that needs a different learning environment. And who should rob a child of the opportunity to have the best learning environment for that child? Nobody wants that. But yet NEA has kind of pushed this idea that school choice is bad. I would communicate directly with the moms and dads, directly with the grandmas and grandpas, the business owners who need kids coming out that are ready for the workforce. We will change the narrative. I will use the bully pulpit, whether it's on this front, a reasonable, sensible, constitutional spending cap. We haven't been able to get that through. But if I use the bully pulpit and I bring the public to this common sense thing, they start pushing, putting pressure on the legislature, and we will make it happen. I will get involved with legislative races to make sure we have the makeup of the legislature that we need in order to get good things done for the benefit of all Alaskans, whether in the rural areas or the urban areas. You know, I want to mention one little tidbit. I know we're running out of time.
Yep.
Other dollars that we're walking, we need to partner with the tribes. They are recognizing the Constitution, even the Declaration of Independence, of their sovereignty. And we need to recognize that. We're walking away from education dollars. We're walking away from federal infrastructure dollars. I love the fact that the Kinnick tribe is getting federal dollars to build bridges, and DOT is building the road in between those bridges. Those are the kind of partnerships that we need.
Senator, thank you very much for being available on the phone. I got to wrap up here. You have a great day. Good luck in your endeavor. It's a big one, and I will be in touch with you, okay?
Tune in Thursday night, Alaskans for Hughes and AlaskansForHughes.com.
Thank you. You have a great day. Bye.
Thank you, David.
Okay, Fairbanks, that's our show, basically. Still got about a minute and a half left, and I am going to be gone tomorrow through next Wednesday, and I have Jen Uhaus. She will be on the air for me, and she's got a great lineup of other people that she's going to be interviewing here. So, you know, we have, let's see, Glen Farm tomorrow, DOT Friday, Americans for Prosperity Monday, and the LHG on Tuesday. So she's got a great lineup. Then I've asked Craig Compo to be there for me next Wednesday, but we'll see what he does, and we'll see how that goes. Anyway, I'm taking off, going down to California to my old alma mater in San Luis Obispo at Cal Poly, and get to enjoy myself, do some wine tasting with Emily, have some good food, see some very good friends, work on my tan. Yeah, right. But someone's got to do it, so what the heck. So it's just one of those things, getting all my stuff wrapped up so I can leave for a week, and looking forward to it. Had a great production of Fairbanks Foodies, so you should listen to that. Saturdays at 1 o'clock. Al is one of my favorite listeners to that. He always gives me a call afterwards or text to explain a few things, or he even brings that into the shows that we have here. So what the heck. Anyway, enjoy yourself. Be getting ready for Mother's Day. That's in two and a half weeks. And it happens already. Then after that, we go into the summer in mid-May. The farmer's market opens up. And then at the end of the month, last Monday of the month, on the 25th, we have Memorial Day. So we have a three-day weekend. If you go the Friday before Memorial Day, you got a four-day weekend. And that's what you should do. You have a great day, and I'll see you in about a week.